Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
It's the greatest commandment, and the series that we've been doing today, I want to look at something a little bit different. Last session that we did was really focused on showing him love by defending by being a faithful witness in order to express love to him. That was our focus. It was, how do we be a faithful witness, and by doing that, express a lot of love to God by being a faithful witness on his behalf? Well, today, it's defending the greatest commandment, and really the focus on this one is, how do we show people love by talking them into the greatest commandment? How do we help a human? Before it was, how do we show God love? Now, how do we show a person love by talking them into a lifestyle of the greatest commandment? And so, as I'm assessing the landscape, it's just like every week there's just more crazy going on. One thing I'm confident of, while we may not have the solutions to all the world's problems, we have like the answer that matters the most for the lost and the saved. It's total abandonment to Jesus. I mean, that's a way a person in Afghanistan right now can be okay. Total abandonment to Jesus. It's a way an American that's all frazzled in the heart can be okay. It's a way a lost person in America who doesn't know what their life is about, is totally on the wrong course, it's a way to get them okay. The answer for all of this is the greatest commandment. Wholehearted love for Jesus. It's what we were created for. Well, as I'm kind of introing this message today, I keep getting hit with this idea that the greatest commandment is the single most important subject for humanity to understand. There is no other subject that is more important. There's no other thought process. There's no other course that would matter more. There's no other, the idea, that the fact, God's heartbeat for the greatest commandment. There is nothing more important for a mom to know. There's nothing more important for a worker or for that lost person. There's nothing more important for humanity to understand than the greatest commandment. And so we have with us we have the most powerful solution. We have the most powerful message. We have the answer to the world's problems. I mean, you could say the answer is Jesus, but it's really loving Jesus with all your heart, because the name of Jesus, without an embracing of the name and the embracing of the person, it's not exactly the nail on the head. The answer is to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the answer. I just think about that. I'm like, man, we are armed with all the nuclear warfare imaginable. We have the greatest arsenal related to the hour that we're living in and the trials of the day. But here's where I want us to go today. We want to be able to articulate God's favorite message. We want to be a people who know how to talk about it in a way that makes sense. We want to be a people that can be received when we talk about the greatest commandment. And we want to be a people that have clarity to be able to simply define it, and not just the definition, but define the application in terms that people can go, oh, I can do that. I can get behind that. Oh, I see the wisdom of that. We want to be those that can actually help people with the greatest message, who actually can equip people, convince people, talk people into God's favorite subject. But what I've found is, if we don't have much clarity ourselves about it, we kind of fumble over our words and we don't make much sense. And while we're still smiling at the end of the conversation, the other person's just like, what? They don't get it. We want to get some clarity for their sake. We want to get some understanding. We want to get it embedded. We want to get rooted in the greatest commandment, even for the sake of being able to talk another person into it. Well, what are we talking about, really? It's defending the biblical definition of love, the foundation of God's love, and that he wants love back, There's so many different, we've talked about this before, but there's so many different definitions of love floating around there, around the earth, and all of them that don't line up with what God says, just because they're attached to the word love doesn't mean a thing. They can be as false as any other message that could send a person to hell. Just because it uses the word love means nothing. We want to hold to the biblical definitions of love. We want to hold to what is the purpose of love as in the scripture. What is God's heart, God's purpose, God's plan related to love? It's the greatest gift we can give someone. Lost or saved? If you were equipped well enough to make sense to somebody about the greatest commandment, it's better than giving them a well-paying job. If you were able to articulate, if you were able to be the mouthpiece of the Lord, the one that provoked, the one that turned the switch on in another human's heart related to the greatest commandment, this is better than helping them in their marriage. This is better than helping feed them if they're hungry. There's nothing better than this. If you could be a messenger used of the Lord to multiply the greatest commandment in other people, you are giving that individual the single greatest gift you could ever give them. Because at the root of it, it's Jesus. But it's not just the name of Jesus. It's you're talking them into a lifestyle of abandonment to Jesus. We were made to be all in. And when you're staring at a person that isn't all in for Jesus, if you were able to talk them into it, you would give them the single greatest gift you could ever give them. Lost or saved? Convincing them, talking them in, defending the greatest commandment, articulating the greatest, advertising it, making it make sense that somebody would hear it and go, I want that in my life. I need that. It's the single greatest gift you could give. I mean, some of you are givers in this church. That's cool. I like it. I'm just thinking about how superb, how superior is this gift. And the gift is this. You wind up transforming everything about their life through one single message. Wholehearted love for God. For real. Not the concept, not a song, the reality. It's awesome. But it's not enough to know the message. We've got to actually say it. It's not likely that someone is going to see your life and it's all just going to register and make sense without words accompanying. The combination of them seeing your life plus words. It's going to take words. I mean, your friends, family, coworkers, whoever, the person you just meet at, you know, the restaurant, they're not going to just more than likely have all the dots just connect because they see you loving Jesus. Like, that might be provoking. It might start a conversation, but more than likely them just witnessing it, because the Lord is always about the shared testimony of his believers. He wants us to testify on his behalf. And so we actually have to say words. And for some of you, you're like, oh, man, words, those are hard. I mean, I learned them in elementary school, but I don't like to use them. We actually have to speak. We've got to use our words to be able to communicate. Not just, it's a difficult phrase to say, not just Jesus, because the name Jesus doesn't, just the name, there's plenty of demons that know the name, but there's no demons living the reality of the greatest commandment. You see the difference? So it's like, it's not just enough that we know the name of Jesus. It's not enough that we say, it's not enough that we believe it. We've got to give ourselves to the man and then talk others into giving themselves to the man. I mean, all in though. Not church attendance. I think about it sometimes and it's painful to me. I don't try to meditate on this often because it's so painful. But I wonder how many people in America over the course of the last, pick a time period, decade, 100 years, went to church all the time and then went to hell. Because going to church doesn't save you. It's the greatest commandment. It's love the Lord your God. I wonder, second category, people that knew the Lord. They totally knew him. And they lived a boring life in Jesus their whole life. They were bored to tears. They were like, I mean, they were saved. They loved the Lord, but like they were not living the greatest commandment. It's like, that's a tragedy. It's horrifying. Well, what if the Lord could use you to talk one of them into it? Because that's how this works. That's how it works. The Lord's going to use you to talk your friend, your mom, your neighbor into the greatest commandment. That's how this works. You're going to live it. You're going to display it. And then you're going to make sense to people. But that, there's a point there that I want to make before we move on. There is this twofold reality here. You might be an articulate witness that doesn't have much of the substance in your life, and you're not going to make a whole lot of impact because you're smart with your words. Flip-flop, you might have, oh, you're living it. But because you don't talk about it, you're not giving anybody the on-ramp to the reality. I don't mean you. You're good. You love Jesus. I'm talking about them. I'm talking about the greatest gift you can give them. Well, the only way to give that gift to them is to give that gift to them. I mean, they're not going to get it because they see you waving a gift around over in the air over there. You actually got to give it to them. You got to talk to them about the greatest commandment. So I want to talk about us being those that talk about the greatest commandment. I mean, that's what this session really is it's how do we start to promote the greatest commandment? We've been spending weeks and months on the greatest commandment. I mean, now as we're nearing the end, it's the time to go, okay, let's go into the next gear. Let's go beyond the greatest commandment for me, and now let's go, how do I help them with the greatest commandment? Now that we've been dealing with it in our own hearts and our own lives, we've been talking about every which way, and I believe growing in it as a church and as individuals, now let's figure out how to export that thing. Let's get others on board. Let's get them into the storyline, not of saved or going to church, of alive. Let's give people the gift of life, lost and saved. Let's give them life. The vitality that comes from living a wholehearted relationship with Jesus. Doesn't that just sound good? That just sounds better. That's like way more fun than going to church. That's way more fun than going through the motions or that's awesome. You have the ability to give that to people. And I want to encourage us to give that. This is, in my opinion, this is different than witnessing. In my opinion, it's like so much better. It's probably the heart of what witnessing was always supposed to be, but it isn't necessarily what happens a lot of times. I'm talking about telling people about how their life can be phenomenal on the inside of their soul. Maybe their outside life will still be horrible. Don't promise them their outside life's going to get epic. Promise them the Lord can do a work in your heart where you can be so alive no matter your circumstances. Where you can actually experience God in this life on a regular basis and you won't live bored anymore. Spiritual boredom is a pandemic in our land that I think is way worse than whatever else we got going on. Spiritual boredom. Bored with God. Clearly, we don't know what we're doing. Bored with God. Bored on the inside. We must not know the secret. We know the secret. It's the greatest commandment, the full-on engagement. The reason we're bored is we're not giving ourselves to anything fully. When you're fully engaged in something. Did you hear that train wreck of a man up here? He was talking about, oh, we're doing this, we're building this. And God. The dude's all in. Eric and Wendy are all in right now. That dude is not bored. One thing I can tell you about Eric, he is not bored. He's all in. It feels good to be all in. It feels good to be giving yourself to something fully. The reason people are so bored, I'm talking about Christians, is they're not fully engaged, and they're not fully engaged for a handful of reasons we'll touch on here in a minute. I just want to give you some promotional atmospheres, some spheres of influence that you have that you may not even know about, that you may not, you not maybe be thinking, I'm not going to say anything revelatory. This is all stuff that it's in there. You just maybe haven't been really thinking of it this way. You have spheres of influence that you can help talk people into the greatest commandment if you just choose to use a relationship that way. First, our families. Moms, strategize how to get this message into your kids. Like, what if you teach them manners and they never have the greatest commandment alive in their heart? Like, what if you teach them responsibility and they still don't have the greatest commandment burning in them? I've said it before, be bad at something else. Be bad at the dishes. Don't be bad at the greatest commandment. Moms, figure out how to get the greatest commandment into your children. Talk to Jesus about that. Like, let's figure out, what do I, God, I want to get this? This one matters. It's the most important subject ever for humanity. Dads, be thinking about this as the heads of your household. How do I get the greatest, in our family realities, how do I get the greatest commandment to be a bigger deal in my family? Think about it. You know, if you think about it, the Lord will give you ideas. If you pray about it, the Lord will inspire you. If you don't, you might miss what little things the Lord is giving you. Dads, heads of households, think about it. Husbands, how do you get this conversation into your marriage? How do we get the greatest commandment between me and my wife? How does that become a value in our home, in our relationship? What's that look like? Your extended families. Start thinking about the dialogue that you can have. I recognize your extended families, you may not get to see all the time. And you can't be overbearing or you're not going to be heard at all. But maybe ask the Lord for some strategies on how you can get the greatest commandment into them. Lord, use me as an ambassador in my extended family. Help me to know how to influence them with the greatest commandment. I'm telling you, it's the single best gift you'll ever give them. It's way better than whatever Christmas gift you're planning. If you can convince, if you can be a witness and a light that actually makes impact, stirring people towards the greatest commandment. You know, what's a little obnoxious about the greatest commandment is it's totally obnoxious. The greatest commandment is not a little more Jesus. The greatest commandment is all in, abandonment, jump off the cliff into the water. It's not stick your toe in the stream. It's jump off the cliff into the water. So it is over the top, but it brings life. When you tell people you can have life, you can have your heart alive in God, you can have rivers of living water flowing through you, you can actually enter into your purpose, why you were created, you start talking big vision with them. You're not talking about how to get a little bit better job, how to get out of that bad relationship and into a little bit better one. You're talking about how to make them the human they were made to be. See, the vision is really big, so that's pretty obnoxious because you're talking about an all-in message. Don't undersell it. Don't be like, yeah, it'd be good to, wouldn't it be cool to know God a little more? Blah. No, all in. Love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let's sell it the way it was sold to us. Let's say it the way the word says it. Let's call people into abandonment. See, I'll tell you what, some people, they're already abandoned to something else, and they're actually looking for an exchange. And our presentation of here's a little bit more Jesus, it seems totally insufficient to them. They need an entire lifestyle replacement. They need an entire focus replacement. I was chasing this. You tell them, abandon that old thing and give your heart fully to Jesus, all in. I promise you, you'll be glad you did. Transformational in your life, in your time, in your thoughts, in your soul, full in. Promoting the greatest commandment in our daily ministry expression. Some of you may not think of it this way, but whether you think of it this way or not, you need to get on board. You are ministers on Jesus' behalf. You are ministers of the gospel wherever you are. And you know, I'm not a full-time. Show me in the word full-time ministry. We made that up. I mean, I do it, but I don't do it because the Bible says full-time ministry. We made that word up. There's people that do it, you know, in this way and in that way and in this role and in that building. But we're all ministers, all of us. I mean, that's why the Bible continually, I mean, in our ministry time today, Paul's like, all of you have something when you come together. It's not just for the professionals. It's all of you got something. We're all ministers of the gospel. So I want to tell you, you have coworkers around you that you can use as a ministry field, and we need to be. Coworkers. I just want to speak to the IHOP U grads about all your old classmates. You have so many old classmates that have already got the seed bed of this in them. Go. Figure out a way to invest in them, the greatest commandment, to spark something alive in this season. As a workplace leader, the people that you're managing, don't just manage them, minister. Minister. You're a minister of the gospel. The Lord's not going to go at the end of your life, go, man, you sure did manage those four guys really, really well. You know, did you minister to the four guys I gave you influence with? That's going to be way more on his mind. Homeschool moms, the other moms you know, in addition to your kids. But the other, this is a ministry field. You know other homeschool moms. These are just a few ideas to get you thinking about your contextual relationships. My point is this. You have a whole sphere of influence through your relationships that are not official ministry that really could be if you just decided they were. I mean, you could call that your ministry, and we actually should be moving that direction. What if that was your mission field, and your mission was talk about the greatest commandment and call people to it? Figure out ways to communicate that in a way that's palatable and instead of a way that gets you stoned. How about some official-looking ways? Small group leaders? Worship leaders at TPR? Be thinking about it. How do I use this set to sow in the greatest commandment into those that are in the room? How do I utilize this? Small group leaders, those that are, you're leading people. How do I get this greatest commandment? They're talking about the people in my small group, they care about all this dumb stuff. How do I get them to care about the greatest commandment? Because it matters way more than the dumb stuff. Think about it. Someone leading a Bible discussion or a Bible study or a ministry. Someone with an online audience. Be thinking about how to get the greatest commandment in there. There's so many people right now using their social media platforms to be loud preachers about something. And a lot of that isn't going to matter worth a flip. But I'll tell you what would matter in every season. Ministry of the greatest commandment via social media is sowing in the greatest commandment in a war. Sowing in the greatest commandment in insanity. In a pandemic, sowing the greatest. It's the greatest message. It's the one he cares the most about. You can make great impact. What's the byproduct of this promotion, just as a little sales point? The byproduct of promoting the greatest commandment for you, you grow in it. You talk about it, it feels good in your heart. You talk about it, you feel the exchange from heaven. You promote the greatest commandment's getting watered in your own garden. It's a great byproduct. Again, not the focus of today, but a good little byproduct. So what are we talking about? What do we do? How do we do this? The most simple thing ever. I have like the most simple invitation ever for you. Talk about the greatest commandment more than you did before. How much did you talk about it before? None. Well, great. Start talking about it at a level one and try to boost that thing up to a 2 into 10. Start talking about the greatest commandment more. You'll get more clarity as you talk about it. You'll figure out what not to say as you talk about it. You'll figure out what really hits the heart, what drives it home. Talk about the greatest commandment. Again, I'm not saying talk about Jesus, talk about the Bible. Talk about the greatest commandment as the best thing ever. Talk about it to people. That's the first thing. Second, correct wrong thinking when you hear it. When you hear wrong thinking presented, wrong ideas related to the greatest commandment, related to how God is about the greatest commandment, related to what God wants in this hour, related to whatever somebody heard, you know, a message about, if you hear wrong thinking related to the greatest commandment, address it, correct it. Look what 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word and be prepared. In season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. When you hear ideas, don't just let them go. See, we live in a generation where the ideas are flowing. Wrong ideas about how God feels, about what God wants, about what loving God looks like, about what it doesn't look like, about what it means to be a wholehearted believer. Wrong ideas are floating around, and if they're left unchecked, they only grow. The snowball only gets bigger as it goes down the hill. Stop the ball. Get right there in the middle of that mountain and stick your hand out and hold up that snowball and deal with it and say, that's not real. That's not who God is. That's not what God wants. He wants us to love him. Correct the wrong thinking as best as you understand it. Deuteronomy 6:4-9. This has been our focus passage, really. But we're going to touch on an aspect that we haven't looked at so much. It's Deuteronomy 6. This is the greatest commandment, the first time it was mentioned in the Old Testament when Moses is starting the nation of Israel out there in the desert. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk to your children about the greatest commandment. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Talk about the greatest commandment. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates. I just want you to catch this. Moses, the Spirit of the Lord giving Moses this word, it absolutely applies to other things. I mean, he says right there, commandments. But Jesus told us what the most important one was. And not only that, the context of this passage is the greatest commandment. And then he says, by the way, talk about this stuff all the time. Talk about the greatest commandment. Get it into your family values. There's a massive one right there. Start thinking about how to get the greatest commandment into your family values, whether it's your home life family, your small group family, your spiritual family, whatever it could be. Talk about it. Talk about these things. Make it an aim of discipleship. We're a church that believes in small groups, believes in small group discipleship. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. I'm trying to give you guys some really practical stuff here. You're a small group leader, or you're going to be a small group leader. By the way, we want all of you to eventually be small group leaders. If you didn't know that, we are plotting your future. Okay? We are planning and plotting and ploying that all of you would be a small group. When we say small group leader, what does that mean? Disciple one human being that knows two things and you know four things. Yeah, disciple one person. Oh, I could do two. Great. Disciple two people. Well, I could do five. Great. Five. But at least one. But here's where we get the idea that this is a good plan. Matthew 28, 19 through 20, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Jesus is the one that said, this is the greatest command. We actually need to be discipling the greatest commandment into those that we're discipling. Make it the aim of discipleship. All of you have got small groups. All of you have got a ministry that you're, you know, ministering to one or two or five people in one realm or another. Start thinking about this as the aim of your discipleship. Start thinking about it as like the way to measure how you're doing as a discipler. Are you getting the greatest commandment into those that you're ministering to? A little, a lot, none. Start thinking about that because it's the greatest commandment. Now, people's responses are going to vary. Some people are going to receive it. When you start talking to people about the greatest commandment, so think about that person in your life, friend, family member, neighbor, whatever. When you start talking about the greatest commandment, there's going to be varied responses. But let me just tell you what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:15. I love this. Paul is like, let me tell you how this works most of the time. Now, not always. Sometimes they'll slap you. But let me tell you how this works most of the time. I'll very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. If I love you more, will you love me less? If I share with you the most important message, if I try to help you, if I love you, are you going to respond negatively? A lot of people, if you'll invest in them in the greatest commandment, a lot of people will respond with wholehearted love. And you don't know which ones. But when you share the love of God, the purposes of God for humans, you're giving them the key that unlocks the reason that they're on the planet. You're not giving them an idea. You're sharing with them the single most important message that they will ever hear. There is power on that message. It's anointed. So if you love them enough to tell them that, by and large, there's going to be some responsiveness. That's pretty awesome. Second, some people just aren't going to understand. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. It's terrifying that he says, my people. So we're even talking about the people of God destroyed, the people of God hindered, kept back, living bored, because they don't know this truth. Just think about all the spheres, all the circles, that they've never really heard this message before. I mean, the heart of it, the spirit of it somewhere, but not like dead on, have you given yourself to the greatest commandment? The what? You know, to the love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Oh yeah, I prayed the prayer. No, friend, that's not what we're talking about here. I'm trying to give you life that's truly life. I'm trying to help you be alive and be all the human you were created to be. Have you done that? Are you on board with that? Because that's what Jesus died for. To love God with all. There are so many that have never heard that articulated. They've never heard it presented. They've heard go to church. They've heard love God, but not like that. Not, I mean, that's a boom. That's all in. Jumping off the cliff versus dabbling in the river with the toes. What if we start telling people there's another way to live? There's a fully alive way to live. You're giving them hope. It's the single greatest gift you can give. And then sometimes people just flat aren't going to want it. And they are going to not really appreciate your words. We're going to spend just a couple minutes on that. I'm going to jump into that because I want to get done here. Navigating accusations to the message. Let me just tell you, as somebody that's been trying to do this, you're going to face opposition. And that opposition is going to come in a few different ways. One, it's going to come in opposition to your message, the message of the greatest commandment. And two, then it's going to overflow into opposition against you because of the way that you're living. So if you're living out the greatest commandment, you're going to attract some attention, some unwanted. That's okay. It's part of the deal. Jesus attracted. It's their words are coming. See, I'm learning words again. Jesus attracted plenty of unwanted attention, and he didn't back down from his purpose and his lifestyle. But by living out the greatest commandment, you're going to attract some unwanted attention. And then by calling people to it, you're going to attract some unwanted attention. I just want to give you a few of the accusations you're going to hear against the greatest commandment. I want to give you some of the accusations so that when you hear them, you go, oh, that's actually the voice of the enemy. That's not wisdom. That's not this person even. That's actually the enemy trying to keep them out of wholehearted abandonment. First, the accusation of missing out. Hey, this greatest commandment thing you're talking about really sounds like it's a real killjoy. I feel like I'm going to miss out on a lot of things in life if I do the thing you're talking about. You're going to hear that. You're going to hear people say that, and you've got to figure out how you're going to answer that. We don't have time right now to get into that. Next, legalism. You're going to hear the accusation. You start calling people into wholehearted abandonment. They go, oh man, that's religious. You're being legalistic. You're saying I got to do all this stuff in the Bible. You're like, no, friend, you're missing the whole point of this. I'm not talking about doing stuff. I'm talking about loving a man. I am talking about being alive in your soul. But you're going to hear that. You're going to hear people say, that's legalism. Don't buy it. Figure out how to overcome that lie and speak the truth to them. Next objection or accusation. You're going to hear the accusation of pride. People are going to say, who do you think you are to tell me how to live my life? Who do you think? You're so high on your high horse, talking about God. You're so religious. You're crazy. You're so prideful. You're so arrogant that you would think that you know how to live and love God better than I do. It's a lie. It's a diversion. It's actually the voice of the enemy coming right out of their mouth. You're trying to help them. It's the greatest gift you could give them. And they are shooting it down. It's an accusation that comes from hell. That is not wisdom. And you're not prideful. Oh, well, if you are, don't be prideful. But the fact of you giving the message, the fact of you living the lifestyle is not prideful. So if you've got pride, deal with that too. But it has nothing to do with the greatest commandment. But you're going to hear it. I don't know how many times I've heard it. It's like, oh, Brad, you're so arrogant that you would think, you know, I've been going to church this long. How do you think you know how to love God better than I do? Do you know God at all? Can we learn from each other here? Like, what is wrong with you? The accusation of pride is to shut it down. That's the point of the pride accusation. Shut it down, because then you're like, well, I don't want to be prideful, so I guess I can't give this person the keys to life. That's like the devil winning big time. The accusation of shame. I can't. I'm so bad. You mean bad like Saul of Tarsus bad? Well, maybe not that bad. You mean bad like Mary of Bethany bad? You know that lady had an interesting occupation before she came to know Jesus? Well, okay, maybe I wasn't doing that. Okay, well, how bad are you? And can you just repent and then be done with your bad and move on? Shame binds people. Related to the greatest commandment. I'm not worthy to give my life fully to God like that. I've been living in this and doing this. He says, no, shut all that down. The Lord will forgive that. You look them right in the eye and you say, the Lord will forgive you of that. Stop speaking that over yourself. The Lord loves you. The Lord goes after the prodigal son. Okay, so you've done whatever. I'm not saying you haven't. That doesn't put you in the penalty box. God loves people in the penalty box. He loves to get them out and then get them embracing wholehearted abandonment. That can be them. But the accusation of shame and the accusation of impracticality. You know, Brad, living with all your heart, all your time, all your thoughts, all your, it's kind of impractical, bro. Like, we've got life to do. No, it sounds like you've got life to not do. It sounds to me like you've got life to board. It sounds to me like you've got life to regret. It is impractical. It's totally impractical. And the Lord makes up for all of it. The accusation that it's not practical to have a job in America and be married and have a family and do this stuff and be fully engaged with God, it's a total lie. It's a total lie. Yes, you can. And it's actually how we were created to live. Living different is a commitment to living bored and outside of purpose. We were created to live with wholehearted abandonment. Well, don't be surprised if people don't like the message. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, and the Spirit of glory rests on you. Don't be surprised if people aren't happy about it. Just do your best, bless them, move on. Don't curse them. Don't write them off. Maybe give them a pause. Give them a couple weeks and come back, try to get, oh, still upset. Okay, all right. We'll touch you back in a month. There's a promise. There's a blessing. Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when people insult you. They persecute you. And they falsely say, you're filled with pride. I'm trying to help you live with wholehearted abandonment. They falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Because you're talking about the thing I told you was the most important thing. Here's my answer, my wrap up. Let's commit to love and let's commit to lose. Commit to love. You don't have to win the argument. You're not trying to win the argument. The objective is the first commandment. It's to love, not to be right. So you don't have to be right. You don't have to be accepted. If people don't want it, if people want to argue about it, you don't have to get involved in all that. Just commit to love people. Commit to try to be one that will help promote the greatest commandment because it is absolutely the answer to everything.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.